Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and we are here waiting for football royalty.
I couldn't be more excited. My second favourite footballer.
We've got Ian Wright coming to New Cross.
And bringing a pie.
And bringing a pie. So he's done this collaboration with Willy's Pies. I think I follow them on Instagram. I have done. They were a lockdown invention. Chef called Willy makes pies. And I'd heard a lot about them and they're quite cool pies. And Ian
What's
Wright...
What constitutes a cool pie, darling?
Actually, that's a really good point. Anyway, Ian Wright's collaborated with them. He's got a chicken pie, Uncle Wrighty's and Willy's pies. And so we've got lunch sorted.
Great.
I love the first time we're getting a footballer on is to talk about their pies.
Pies are very football, though, darling.
They are.
Yeah. You'd expect a pie at a stadium.
You also wouldn't expect a footballer to bring over
their own
lunch.
Pie.
So I'm very excited by this. What are we going to serve it with?
Some mashed potato, which I did with the ricer, so it makes it quite smooth.
Right.
And some peas.
And we're keeping it... I mean, I made a root veg mash last night. I did butternut squash, sweet potato and parsnip. It was too sweet.
Too sweet.
And so...
Make a soup.
I'm going to do... Yeah, producer Alice suggested I put some chicken stock in it and make a soup. Because it's a bit pathetic.
Can I tell you, I went to the Abbeville last night.
Yeah.
What Graham and I didn't realise, it was steak night.
Ooh.
Two steaks, bottle of wine, 45 quid. It was delicious steak. It was great. And when we got there, it was very busy. And Graham said, oh, it's really busy. And everyone looked at him and said, it's steak night. It was so funny.
Oh, my God, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
We've got a pavlova for Pud. You've done the...
I did the pav.
Is the over the...
What you
the
put,
cream.
What goes so over it.
Okay, well, I've done whipped cream that took forever because I'm missing a bloody
a paddle.
Whisk.
If you give me the name of that, whisk. I'll find you
And
one.
Then I've put a bit of cardamom in there too.
Yeah.
Because I've roasted some rhubarb to go on top with a lot of sugar. So there's a little bit of syrup that will be around it too. And then done some pistachios in the frying pan just to kind of toast them slightly. And then they're going to be scattered on. So yeah, we've got Ian Wright on. So I hope we're going to have a pie and a pavlova. And I can't wait.
The two peas.
In a pot. I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Pie, pavlova and peas.
Cheers.
Cheers, man. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about this.
You're my second favourite footballer.
Oh, my God, who's your first? Because I'm going to get him done. Who is it?
Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, but now I can't get him topped now. I was going to get him topped now. I can't because I love him as well.
I love him. Who does?
He's an amazing guy. Under a lot of pressure. People can't even get into the realms
mean.
Of the pressure.
He's 20 bloody five. Leave him alone.
But the thing is as well... Jess, he's playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world, and anything
that
just moves the dial, if it's good or if it's bad, you know.
He's under a microscope, isn't he?
Him, Raheem Sterling, Saka. Even the white players, I should say, like Foden and Grealish, and the pressure that they're under, these players, these young players, it's really intense.
Do you think that's because social media is there
Absolutely,
now?
Without a doubt, yeah. Because there's so many opinions and so many... ways for people to contact you. And even if you don't want to see it yourself, you end up seeing it. People tell you or you find out. So it just comes from everywhere. And you know, you can say the wrong thing and it's a pile on. And you know what I mean? Then all of a sudden, the microscope is on you. And
How do you think you would have dealt with social media?
I don't think I would have dealt with it very well.
Do you think you would have got yourself in trouble?
Yeah. It's not a case of getting yourself in trouble, but with my personality at the time when you first get onto it, because I think the guys have got teams around them who help them now. Yeah. Sometimes they put stuff on there where you think, well, you shouldn't have put that on. But I believe that if I was on it in my time, without that kind of like the team I've got around me now, I'd be in serious trouble. Because some of the criticism and some of the comments that come towards you are really, really nasty, and you just snap. And I probably would have snapped, and the focus of it would be too much for me because my personality is too on the line. I could go that way, especially when I was playing, you know. So it's tough. So I would not have been able to deal with it because it's tough enough dealing with it as a pundit, you know, with everything what comes. Len, so it's like you just have to navigate it, but you need people, you know, like Megs. I need Megs.
Megs is in the back.
Yes, and people like Roscoe, all the people around me, Kaz and Alex, and everybody who I've got who help with everything what I do. And, you know, if it weren't them, I wouldn't be seen in the light. I mean, because I would
be
doing stuff.
Adores you.
Yeah, we love you. I feel like you can do no wrong.
Even though you're a gooner, we love you. Sam loves you and he's so special.
And he's serving Sam. Wine to you like
this. Thank you, Sam. I did the Hoovering for you. Thank you to Sam, honestly. Thank you so much. And that gear you was wearing, Sam, that green suit.
I'm gonna
we'll get it for you.
I had a feeling it had the name right in it. It looked good. Yeah, I had the name right in it.
I like that you've been scrolling. Yeah. He hasn't worn that for a while. So no, you were doing your research on us.
My wife sent it. My wife showed me it.
Oh, Nancy should have come.
She's too. She's shy. She's very shy like that. Even when we do stuff and we're on the carpet, like you literally have to force her on to just take a photo, so that we can show the girls when we get in and that. She stays out of it.
How did you two meet?
We met at a Cow in Notting Hill.
Oh, fab!
You know,
were you there for food?
No, I was there for food. Yeah.
Yeah. The roast.
It wasn't a roast at the time. We had it was probably fish stew. At the time, bangers and mash they do.
And you didn't like fish, though. When did you?
No, because like I say, growing up, we had a kind of a diet which was very rigid with the West Indian food. It was, you had white rice, corned beef. Every now and then you had steak, you had dumplings and
Callaloo,
which was really tough for me. Any kind of vegetable I was younger was quite tough for me. It had to be really cut up and diced up, corn and stuff. But we had the same kind of food all the time, mutton. I hated when my mum cooked tripe. The smell. I remember when she was making it. When you wake up in the morning, I started crying. I went through years of well because we had to eat rice and peas and chicken every Sunday.
Rice and peas is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. But when you've eaten it, it's from the time you've had sense till you get older. The kidney beans. I went off kidney beans for like years.
Mm. Which island is she from?
Jamaica.
She's Jamaican.
Yeah, she's
Which
Jamaican.
Which parish?
She's from Yalas, St. Thomas.
St. Thomas.
In Jamaica, yeah. And so when we grew up, we ate the same kind of stuff, and some of the stuff, if I didn't like, I just wouldn't eat it.
So that's when you went out and played football for a bit
all
longer?
All the time. That's all I've done, is played football. And I didn't.
So you've got to thank tripe, really.
Yes, tripe for getting me out there and practicing rather than eating it. But my mum was a very good cook, and she, you know, the gravy she'd make of it would be sufficient to put on the dumpling and the rice or whatever it was. But other than that, I didn't have a lot of variety of food apart from West Indian food.
So she wouldn't buy pizza?
No. I didn't eat, we never had pasta. I know you go to some people's houses and they have macaroni cheese with their Sunday dinner. I never had it because we never cooked it, so I didn't like it. And when I went to school, the macaroni was terrible.
Yeah.
The only thing I loved was the dessert because we never had any kind of afters at home.
What was your favourite dessert?
It probably would be... It was sponge with the jam on top with that coconut. Yeah.
Cake is a core memory.
Cake and custard. Because again, because we didn't have it at the house, so you weren't used to it. Yeah. So I didn't eat custard with that sponge for a few years. I just wouldn't because I didn't like the custard.
Did you not like mixing things?
No. Like, I remember one time my friend, I used to always swap my apple pie and custard for him and he'd give me sponges. But then after a while, I tasted the custard and then I found when I mixed it all in, it was heavenly. So I stopped changing the sponges. And then I said, you know what, before I give you the apple pie, can I just taste it? And I tasted the apple pie and it had that beautiful crust and the apple inside. And I tasted it. And that was it. I was hooked on apple pie and custard as well.
Which leads me perfectly to pies.
Yes.
Which is the reason you're here. Mm-hmm. You're our first footballer we have ever had. And it is a huge honour to have you. And the fact that you're now a foodie.
Honestly.
You know, with probably the coolest pie maker in London. Willy's Pies. So tell us about this
You
collab.
Know something? The thing with Willy's Pies, we've got my dear friend, Lotta Woodman-Moy, Arsenal player, Arsenal and England player. She knew the guys. And they were talking, and then they gave her one of the pies and said, yeah, can you give this to Ian Wright? Because they heard like pies, because it's not a secret.
So tell us about your love for pies first.
Well, it just came from when I was a child. You used to have fish and chips every Friday. I didn't like fish because obviously I had fish bone and that choked me. And that was it. I didn't eat fish for many
years. How old were you when you had...
I was about 8.
That must have been terrifying.
It was horrible. You know what I mean? Because it was, you know what I mean? It was really hard and I couldn't get it out. I was choking and banging my back and all the stuff. And then in the end, I vomited out, sorry to say that on air, and then it came out. And then that was it. I said, I'm not eating again. And the fact is, I took that as I don't like fish rather than I swallowed a bone and it kind of made me a bit traumatic about it. But I used to only have pies.
From the fish and chips.
Yeah, from fish and chips.
So what was the order?
So it would be, I'd have steak and kidney pie and chips. So I've always had pies. And I always like a pie that's full underneath as well. Right. You know, the pastry underneath, not just like you go to the pubs and that now. Mm-hmm. They just do it on the top in those kind of ceramic bowls, which is fine, but like it doesn't, it's not the memory I want.
It's not an Uncle Wrighty. Yeah, it's not an Uncle.
So the collaboration came like they gave Lotta a pie to give me, Lotta gave it to me. Then I went and met them once I ate and I said, I'd really like to come and meet you guys. And they told me the story. They really started up in COVID. Mm. You know, they were making pies. Willie's a chef. And you're making pies, and then he had his bike and he delivered his pies anywhere just to keep themselves going anywhere. So I really fell in love with the story. And then, you know, you taste the pies and the pies are amazing. And I just said to them, listen, is there any way I can like buy into this? You know what I mean? And then we spoke about it and you said, yeah, but you've only tasted one pie. We've got so many. And I said, the thing is that the character and the passion for it. And for, obviously I love pies. I said, I'm buying into you too.
You're basically doing what Gary Neville did on Dragon's Den. I'm in.
Because like the thing is that I like to notice is people's passion. I can listen to somebody who is a train spotter, a stamp collector, a coin collector, you know, people who do that metal detect if they're passionate about it. And the way these guys spoke about pies and what they want to do and, you know, the taste and the different varieties, I said, I just love the sound of it. So I got involved and then... Obviously, launching Uncle Wrighty's on the 1st of March, I wanted to launch with a pie.
Yeah.
And I wanted to launch with, I wanted to launch with a traditional roast. Because I remember, like, the first time I started to eat a roast, I went to my friend's house when I was younger. And obviously, going to someone's house on a Sunday and then being able to stay for dinner, and it's not rice and peas and chicken. It's the first time I ate a Sunday roast with chicken. Honestly, I'm not joking. Willy's have got it nearly identical to how the chicken tasted, the potatoes, Yorkshire pudding. I'd lost my mind. I'd never had it before. And so that kind of changed everything. And I always craved that. So that's why I used that as the first pie I wanted to do.
So that's like a really nostalgic taste from your childhood.
Absolutely is. And a lot of my, like I say, the reason why I want to go into food now is not only because of the fact that we're here because of food, really. And you meet people and you can talk to people and you have your greatest times when you're over a nice meal and a nice glass of wine. And I love the camaraderie and the togetherness of that.
Well, you've kindly brought us our dinner that we're going to have. So we're having the Uncle Wrighty's chicken pie, mm-hmm. Willy's pie, mm-hmm. and we're going to serve it with mash.
Yeah.
And some peas. We're keeping it very simple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we have for you...
Even better.
Okay,
good. Even better just simply because... Growing up, it was simple. I needed it simple. Some of the times you didn't eat because I didn't like some of the food. So the simpler it is, I can eat the same thing continually.
Really?
I could do that.
Oh, you're one of those people?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's something that's trained in. And it's something that as I've got older, especially once I got into football, and then you're having to eat different things for fuel, and having to eat food that's not seasoned, which is very, very difficult for me.
Why? You know, no salt. Oh, my God.
You know, tea, all that sort of stuff. You had to have everything in its rawest form in respects of how Arsene Wenger wanted you to
eat
that
it, like,
boiled.
So when you were... Because my cousin...
He was very health conscious, though, wasn't he, Arsene
Wenger? They measure... It's now sports science. They measure how much carb you have,
yes.
How much protein. Were they doing that?
Yes.
Oh,
it was very
God.
Precise.
Yeah, but you
the boys say, I want chips.
You know, of course we did. I remember there was one time we were singing on the back of the coach that we want our chocolate bars back. We want our Mars bars back. But we weren't having it. We had to eat all that food. And it was very plain rice, very bland chicken, very bland vegetables.
Olsen's French. Didn't he bring that?
No, because
je ne sais quoi.
No, he didn't bring the je ne sais quoi with that, simply because it was all about fuel. And it's a good thing for me because it helped me appreciate food.
Well, you're
more.
Very slim.
You think? No,
yeah,
no, I'm
I think
working
you look great,
so hard,
darling.
Len. I'm working hard on it, Len, because I do like food. And all the food I like is, I like pasta. I love Italian food. You know, I'm not so much pizzery and stuff.
No.
I like steak, but good ones. I like fish.
So where would you go for an ideal night out with Nancy for a meal, an Italian meal?
Probably there's a really cool little restaurant on Dover Street called Chuck's, C-H-U-C-S, and they cook really lovely food, whether it's fish, whether it's pasta, whatever it is. It's really good. Nancy always has the risotto. You know, she always has like mushroom risotto and stuff like that. That's where I'd probably go.
So you were talking, before we got onto this, you met Nancy at the Cow.
At the Cow,
It's a very famous pub in Notting Hill. Mm. I think David Beckham quite likes
That's
it
where he
too.
Goes, yeah, he goes there.
And you were probably having a fish stew or something. And was Nancy there just with some friends?
She was with some friends. It was really awkward because I saw her because I used to get my styling from a guy who lived on the same road. So we'd go there, talk about what we're going to wear, then we'd go to whoever it's BBC and do our stuff. And so he used to live with Nancy. They used to share a house, so he knew her, right? So that's how I first saw her. And the first time I ever saw her was on a road called Barlbury Gardens, just over the back of Notting Hill. And we had to go there, for Conrad had to get something. And I remember she came out, she's half asleep, because I think she just got back from South Africa, because she's working a building production companies over there. And she came out in her pajamas on the street, and she asked me, do you want to come in? And half asleep kind of vibe, like this, right? And then I said, no, it's okay, thanks. She said, do you want a cup of tea or something? And I said, no, I'm okay, thank you. Conrad went in and came back out. When he came out, I said, Conrad, who's that? You know what I mean? He said, it's Nancy. And I said, she's really, really cool. And I was talking to her about not having no problem about coming out onto the street in her pajamas, just asking me if I wanted a cup of tea. And then I didn't meet her again for a while. And then I saw her in the Cow.
And you remembered her?
Yeah, because she just came back from South Africa again. And I remember she was at the bar, and then I went over, tried to do that kind of thing. We said, "Hey, how you doing?" And, you know, and talking.
That
and she kind of, yeah, she just went, "Yeah, fine, yeah." Because obviously she
did. She fancy you?
I don't know at the time.
Well, have you asked her now?
No,
well, I think they're doing okay.
Yeah, but did she fancy you when you were fancying her?
At the time, I think she was interested, but she wasn't like, "Oh, hi, how you doing?" You know, she said, "Oh, you know, she's very cool." And I think if you do finally meet Nancy, which I'm sure you will at some stage, and look at her demeanor and how she is, you can see what I'm saying. How even if she says to me now, "No, I didn't really fancy it," I couldn't read her face, right? But I had a feeling that something happened because, like, she didn't blank me, but she did blank the fact that I offered her a drink. I think she turned my drink down. Oh. Every time I offered her a drink, she turned it down three times. She said, no, I'll have a drink. Do you want a drink? And that was something else that was quite impressive because, again, I normally find that I'm buying drinks for people. So she said no, but she wasn't mean or nasty about it, but she was very cool. And then she just kind of like went off again. So I was like, oh, shit, I don't know. How do I get in? I can't get in. I can't get into the conversation.
Oh, my God, love this.
And so then what happened was, is that, so obviously, like I say, with Conrad, so then Conrad, I said, Con, can't you just get to come to the Cow? I said, just meet. And he said, yeah, she's busy at the minute. And then one time Conrad phoned her and because I'd bump into her every now and then. And then we'd get a little bit more of a chat, a little bit more. Oh, nice one, this and that. What'd you do then? She told her. And then I said, Conrad, ask her if she could come to the Cow. We're just seeing it. If she's not doing something. She says, well, okay, I'll pop in. She took a cab up in it. And then we just started talking. And then it just got a little bit better. And then Conrad left. Then we started talking, and then I went through my history, and she went through her history, and I said, yeah, nice one. Then we met again maybe a couple of weeks later, and then it just started to go from there.
Were you living around that
area? Yeah, I was living in Hampstead at the time. I'd go to the Cow, my dear friend Bardi runs it, and I'd go there, and I'd spend a lot of time there. You know, this is where I got my love for oysters as well. Another thing, when I was younger, I would never.
Ian.
I'd never eat them.
We wouldn't be able to go
I
on
feel
a
like
date.
You haven't given us
Yeah, why then? Oyster.
No, I wouldn't give you oysters then.
No,
but like the thing is, you have to try. Have you tried them though?
Yeah.
You don't like the texture.
They're like snot.
Yeah. But when I was a kid, my mum, I used to get clipped because I used to do the snot thing and sniff it up and swallow it. Sorry, everybody. I hope you're not eating
this
at the moment.
This is why I like oysters.
So, you know what I mean? It wasn't a texture that I wasn't used to. So I always found that eating them, I always had to think about them because I'm thinking, I've not chewed that.
Oh.
I've not. I've just swallowed that.
Just take it straight down.
Straight down.
Oh my God.
I'll have maybe six, and then I'm starting to think.
Whoa,
oh,
that's good going.
Yeah, I'll have probably six of them, and then I'm thinking about. Then I start getting all paranoid about aliens inside me.
Oh my
and
God.
All that sort of stuff. I'm saying, I've not even chewed that. How's that going to get
what
digested?
What do you put on them?
I put, it's a kind of vinegary, kind of a vinegary burp.
The
you know that vinegar is, kind of, it's, yeah, it's the colour.
Like with onions.
Yeah, it's kind of the colour of like beetroot, but it's vinegar in little onions. So that kind of, and I put some Tabasco on it.
Are you a hot sauce person?
Yes, I am. Yeah, that's
would you
thing.
Put hot sauce on your pie?
No.
No.
I put a little like spice in it, so it's just...
Yeah.
Not there, but you could taste something else. But I wouldn't put hot sauce on. But like when you're younger, I put hot sauce on everything. And it's probably something else I'm going to probably venture with Uncle Wrighty's. Yeah, some
hot
sauces and sauces and different condiments and stuff like that.
Yeah, we know so many. We've talked a lot. So there are definitely hot sauce people in the world.
We used to have, there's all different sauces in the house. Obviously, Encona was there. You know, but it was mainly made up of Scotch bonnet. I'm finding that a lot of the
Scotch bonnet.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm finding that a lot of the hot pepper sauces on shelves now. They're not as hot as when
as
I
they
remember.
Should be, or
but
as
now
they
people
be.
Yeah, but now people are doing different stuff now. You can get hot stuff.
Ian,
now.
Of all the pundits, who's the biggest foodie that you go out for dinner with and eat oysters and
I wouldn't say oysters, but like because that is very much an acquired taste, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know who's really nice to go out with is my dear friend now. We've got a really nice friendship. It's Roy Keane.
Oh, we love him.
Everybody loves Roy.
I mean, we really love him.
Is the thing, you know what, as well,
He's not as aggressive as he
is.
Of course he's not.
The beauty with him was when he played. Well, so was I.
Oh, my God, he was like a donkey.
So was I then, yeah, but so was I. And the thing is that we was in such a cauldron of trying to achieve and playing at the very top what we were doing, because no one, people can't even believe we're friends now.
Right.
We can't even believe we're friends now.
Do you remember any tackles?
Absolutely.
That he did on you?
No, just tackles, it was always very aggressive. It was always very hard because they were Man United, we were Arsenal.
Do you think they're not aggressive enough now?
No. I don't think it's that they're not aggressive enough now, but the rules and the way that the rules are now, it's very hard to be that
things.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, everything now turns into a yellow card, a sending off, or you can look back on the VAR, as I'm sure.
Are you for VAR or against it?
No, I'm for VAR, but I'm against the people who are using it, because at the moment, if I'm going to be totally honest, without being too mean, but I'm probably going to have to be, because I can't find another word to describe them, is the incompetence of some of them in respects of the decisions they're making and the mistakes they're making. It's the only word I can use because it is, for the level that they are, it is incompetence.
They sometimes overrule it, don't they?
With the VAR? Yeah.
But do you think they're brave enough referees?
Yes, they are. But like it's like anything, Lenny, if you've got a safety net, then you're gonna go to it more than anything
else.
It's gonna give you something in yourself where it takes away your natural. I'm gonna make that decision. I'm gonna stick by the decision because what can happen with VAR, and I don't want to go into it too much because it's quite boring. If I'm being totally honest,
you're
tired of
it
in football. But if you're talking about like the people who are doing it are able to help the people who are on the pitch, you should just make the decision, like I say, and stick to it because you can still now have a decision on there just where. They say, no, we're going to stick with the on-field decision. They need to do that.
I mean, I like the lines. I love it when they draw the lines so you can actually see if they're offside or not.
You know something, but then...
His nose was over,
yes,
so there he's offside.
I love that analogy because, but the thing with the lines, Lenny, is that they could be drawn. It's like to someone's discretion. It's
is a bit.
Remember, offside is trying to stop somebody getting into a position where you've got an advantage over
your
the
nose
defender.
Isn't
right?
going to be an
your
advantage.
Nose or your toenail is not going to...
Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
I
so
absolutely
that is
agree
the problem.
With you. Now, just tell me, did Mr. Pigden teach...
Mr. Pigden?
Pigden.
Yeah.
Did he teach at your primary school?
Yes. And that was Turnham, not just off St. Norbert's Road.
And
then
you've got a pitch there, something, memorial,
yes,
something.
Yes, yeah, me and David Rowcastle, my old friend, who used to live on the estate as well. Yeah, Mr.
I'm
Pigden.
I'm just getting
no, 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 it's fine, Jess. Yeah, so that was a school. I had to put his...
Mr. Picton,
yeah.
I love that. I mean, don't make me cry again. I think about it. When he turned up and you said, I thought you were dead. And he said, no, I'm here.
You know what was the... again, it's one of those that I can't watch it some of the time.
You can't watch it.
No,
you're a very emotional person, yeah, I am.
I know the guys take the mickey out of me on the stick to football about it sometimes. And you know,
do you
ever
cry with love for the football? When you've won. Oh, I mean, gosh. I've seen you jumping about when England are playing.
See,
or
like, obviously, Arsenal. When I'm watching, if Arsenal win anything this season, like if they win the league or...
Do you think they will?
I do believe that. No, I believe they can.
They can, yeah.
You know what I mean? I believe they can. Whether they will, trying to stop Manchester City and Liverpool is going to be tough, but you know what I mean? I probably will shed a tear if they do it because... Yeah. It means the world to the Arsenal fans.
Thank you for supplying.
No,
lunch
I'm really pleased because I would have
so
really
excited.
Been excited about what you were going to cook for me.
Oh God,
we'll have to do it again now.
Yeah, we will.
I'll bring Saka or bring Roy. Bring Roy.
By the way, I just want to say that the crunch on that.
Did you like that?
Was spectacular.
Yeah, I hope people.
I don't know if we got it on ASMR, but I'm just saying.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I'm telling you, that is gorgeous.
That is absolutely delicious.
Well, can I say, the thing is this is what I'm saying with Will and Josh. I love them. I adore them. And the reason why you can go in and say, listen, please let me come in, because of the effort that's put in.
This is delicious.
But I need to know, where are we going to be able to buy these? Are they going to be in the supermarket?
Well, the thing, at the moment, you can get them on Willie's Pies website. And when you look on the website, there's a couple of places. There's a few places, I should say, but they'll give you a list on the Willy's Pies website where you can buy them.
Gorgeous.
This is amazing.
I mean, I knew
Willy's Pies is great, but like this is a great chicken pie. This is
do
a fantastic.
You want some more, darling?
Yes, I do.
Here.
Thank you. If we were coming over to yours, what would you cook for us?
A pie.
No, apart from the pie. Okay,
the thing is, as easy as it is, one of the things that I think that we make nice more than anything else, and we're not Michelin star chefs, nice mean. She does make a lovely salmon soy sauce teriyaki with rice and whatever vegetables like mange tout or green beans and stuff
like that.
And we do like a cozy spaghetti bolognese where it's not like, we make a spaghetti bolognese and it's done in like, it's an all day, like, you know, the mince and we stew it through and get it, because the girls love it as well. So probably one of those two, either the salmon or a spaghetti bolognese, because I love Italian food.
Are your kids good eaters?
My two youngest are. My older kids, obviously, they're doing their stuff now. Everything. When they were younger, they were good eaters as well. But
how many children have you got?
Eight children.
Eight?
Yes.
Wow.
I've got three. I think I'm done. You've got twins, though, haven't you?
No.
No, you haven't got twins.
No, not twins.
Would you have more?
No.
You've hung up your boots.
No, I've got granddaughters now. I've got grandkids
as
well.
Oh, my God.
How are you finding being a grandparent?
Well, it's really cool. Other than, you know, I'd like to see them more. I see my granddaughter, Sean's daughter, the most out of anyone. I see her the most because obviously she's banging to football and she loves it and that. So I go and watch her and we go and do stuff together. So I see her a lot, but I don't see my grandkids as often as I like to.
How do you feel about, like, when Sean got into football? Did you kind of... Was it something that you were desperate? I've seen, you know, I've seen the videos of Raheem Sterling's son when he was, like, just walking, kicking. And you know, Rio's son's doing it. Mm. did you almost not want them to go there? Or were you kind of a tiger parent where you were like, let's go?
No, what it was is that they, from a young age, we were always kicking the ball around, yeah, right, in the house, in the park and stuff. So it was never something where, say, right, come on, out we go.
Yeah.
Going to play football now. It was, they just went out and played football. You know, obviously their dad being a footballer, you know what I mean? We'd play a lot of football, they'd play football in the garden. And that, when they started to play and they started to get serious about it, again, you know, I wasn't helicoptering them. I wasn't all over them saying, you have to do this. I always used to say to them, listen, if you want to play, and they both showed aptitude, they were both good. You could see that.
Was that Bradley and Sean?
Bradley and Sean.
So where were they playing when they were little?
No, just playing their school.
In the
back at the school and all that
Not
stuff.
Not a Sunday league or anything?
Yeah, no, they were playing Sunday and Saturday league.
Yeah.
But like, it was a case of, if you're serious, then, you know what I mean, then we'll go. But it was never a case of, right, you need to go to bed now because you need to do that. Mm-hmm. It was just, they were just being kids. And then they showed the aptitude, they got to a place where they were good enough, and they both signed for Nottingham Forest and both got, what's it called, rejected, and they went to City. But when they were younger, I never ever said anything to them other than, if you want to play at the highest level, you don't give the ball away, you pass to your teammates, and you enjoy the game. That's what you do. Those three things are the things I say to my grandkids now as well. Just make sure that you enjoy the game, make sure you're passing and using your teammates, no matter how good you are and they're not as good, and make sure you enjoy the game. And that's all it was. I remember when I used to pick them up sometimes. And when I was playing, especially when I was at Arsenal, it was really intense for them, because if I came to watch them, you can imagine all the rest of the kids and the parents, then you kind of take the shine off of them a bit. So you have to watch from far away.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you could see them from far. Can you imagine now if you're watching some kids playing football with binoculars, I'll probably get arrested or something.
You were there with binoculars.
So I'd have to stay far enough away so as you can watch it, so as then you could see what they're doing, so as I can say to them, how did you play and this and that, because it's very difficult for them to say, if I say to them, I couldn't watch because I was signing autographs for parents, and parents were coming over. So it's very hard to watch them and people not like come over and want to say something. So I used to watch from afar, and then when they used to get in the car, whether they've won or lost or whatever it was, I just asked, did you enjoy the game? You know, did you enjoy the game? Because, you know, that's what it's about. That's the main thing, you know.
And they did.
They did. Of course they did. They both became professionals. Sean was very successful, won the Premier League, won the FA Cup twice. Bradley, you know, played here. Then he went to America, became very successful. One of the record goal scorers in the MLS in America. So it worked out for them. I don't know what
so
I can
you
add
didn't
to that.
Go to an academy.
No, I was working. I didn't get in until I was 22.
Which just wouldn't amazing happen anymore.
Well, really. You know what? It would be a lot tougher. But what it made me realise is that it sounds a bit like I'm not trying to preach and that. But if you keep going, like I say, because it's the one thing that was a common theme in my life was I loved playing, and I kept playing, and I kept myself right when I was playing. I trained. I tried to do the best. And then in the end, it just, it clicked simply because I was playing at a level where I was playing so well, scoring 3 and 4 games, in games. And then you start to get on people's radar, and then you're on Crystal Palace's radar. But it was the rejection from the age of 10 to 22 what made me, what really kind of like shaped how I played.
When did you go to Arsenal then?
I went to Arsenal when I was 28. People don't realise how late I went to Arsenal. I went when I was 28. And so again, I felt because I came in so late, I was constantly trying to make up for lost time. You know, I missed out on tournaments, you know, where injury or form, but like you always feel like, oh my gosh, I didn't get to go to that tournament. But then all I could do was what I was in control of, and that was scoring as many goals as I can for Arsenal, winning as many trophies as you can. So
how many caps for England?
I got 33.
That's all right.
I'd have taken one. I think the goal I scored for England against Poland, we was losing, and I came off the bench, and I scored, was probably the greatest moment of my life.
What year was that?
That would have been, I think, 97. Was
I think
it 97?
Yeah.
Could have been, might have been. It could have been. No, it was earlier than 97. I can't remember. It was Poland. I remember. It was in Poznan.
It wasn't the qualifier where they didn't get in.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So it would have been in and around 93, 94.
Yeah.
Because it was the time when Graham Taylor, Graham Taylor was doing that.
It was
that,
when you walked the streets, Mum.
Oh,
what do you mean you walked the streets?
I was pissed off.
I was beside myself go through.
Yeah.
Was that when Bobby Robson?
It was the Italy World Cup.
That was 1990.
That was 1990.
With Gaza.
Gaza.
And then the 96 was when we lost on penalties. Yeah.
No, that was, yeah, anyway.
I was bereft then as well. I love football.
You love it?
I love football.
Are you finished? Can I take this away? Because we're going to have some pud now.
Yes, please.
That's okay.
Yeah,
now,
that's
do you
perfect.
Want to carry on with the wine? Would you like a cup of tea?
No. I'll have some more wine.
Right?
Yeah, I love this. Yes. Is that rhubarb, Pavlova?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you just gulped though. I feel like, Ian, you're not sure.
No, because when we
did
was
you
younger.
See that?
No, when we yeah, it's
okay,
really
just,
good.
Like, just share it with the group.
That's really good observation for me. When we was younger, rhubarb crumble was the one I didn't eat.
Oh shit. Oh,
but like I had it as time went by, it's fine. I'm fine with it.
Just try it.
I can't
wait for you to enjoy my roasted rhubarb pistachio pavlova. Ian, right?
Nuts as well.
Oh no, you're not.
I'm only joking.
Okay, now I'm scared,
what
Ian, that you'll just, like, that I haven't made
no,
it.
No, because it's not a problem. If I was younger, it would have been a problem, simply because I'm not used to stuff.
But
so
it did bring
I would not eat it at all.
This is good.
Yes, yeah, very good.
I vouch it's good.
It's actually just melted straight away in my mouth. Come on.
Boom, cheers. L'chaim.
What, those nuts?
Pistachios.
What do you say, l'chaim?
L'chaim. L'chaim. Good things.
What's it say?
L'chaim, good things.
Good things.
Life.
Like to life, yeah.
L'chaim.
So listen, I'm going to get you drunk enough that you're literally going to give me Roy Keane's number in a minute.
And Gary Lineker. He's a good cook. Has he ever cooked for you?
No.
He puts it all up on Instagram. He makes banging roasts.
My God. Excuse me. We went to his house and a little while back. I went with me and Alan and he'd done a...
Shearer.
And he'd done a ragu with pasta. I think, I can't remember what, was it?
Was that because rabbit? He knew you love Italian?
Maybe, yeah, because he asked us what we fancy. And said, yeah, we'll have some pasta. And he'd done it with I think it was maybe a rabbit.
Oh my God.
Rabbit ragu. I'm not joking, it was
amazing.
Jesus. And every time you see him, like I've seen when we do Match of the Day, I say, Guy, what are you cooking on Sunday? And he'll always have something, what he's going to cook. Yeah, I'm just going to do a lamb joint or I'm going to do this and that. But it's, again, he's somebody that, when he's doing it, he's doing it as if it's for the queen.
Yeah.
He's doing it. It's amazing. Mm. He's very good.
Let's talk about your acting career, shall we? Because it's actually a friend of mine, Daniel Kaluuya. Mm. You're in the new Netflix film.
The Kitchen. Oh my gosh.
How was that? You were the DJ.
It was.
The radio DJ of the estate.
Yes. You know what, Jess? I don't know how you guys do that because it's so daunting. There's
I don't
too many...
fucking act. I'd sing.
Yeah?
I don't act.
Would you act?
Would I? I think my sister would kill me because she's an actress, but...
Yeah, but what about...
I don't know. Like, I feel like you... I mean, like, I guess I perform on stage, but then that's like you performing in front of...
No, but
thousands
like, it's,
of people.
It's different when they say action and all the words
Did you
that
you get stay, the fear?
Honestly, all the words that I've been staying up till 3 and 4 in the morning trying to get it in my head, trying to say it out loud. So I was like, as soon as they said action, I was like, I lost all, it's just lost, went out of my head.
Harder than taking a penalty.
It's harder than anything because you've got loads of people that are waiting on your performance. And you know what I mean? I'm so pleased. I didn't have dialogue with anyone else, which I don't know if that would have been easier or harder. But like, in the end, Daniel had to have a chat with me and say, listen, you know the words, relax. Get into what this is about and the oppression and what's going on. And you know, I remember he took me back to when I was a kid and how wronged I felt when I was arrested for nothing and put in the cell for hours just for no reason. How did you feel? He said, put yourself into that guy. How did you feel? How did you feel there? Was that right? Was it wrong? How did you feel? And then as he's saying that to me, you just start to get back into, you get into the character of that. I said, is that it? Is that how acting goes? And he said, yeah.
Maybe
listen,
he's a great director.
He is a great director because I don't think I would have been able to do that if someone doesn't come over and give me that insight into where I need to be to try and do this. And like acting again is something that, it's not something I want to do simply because Jess, it's so difficult and it's so important to get it right. You don't want to. There's so many actors out there, so many actors out of work, there's so many actors I'm sure that they could have chosen for that. All the reasons he said he wanted me to do it. He's a massive Arsenal fan.
Daniel, I didn't realise that.
He said, you're an uncle. You're an uncle, people look up to you. You're the person that people would expect to get that kind of advice from because that's one of the things I was worried about more than anything else. It's not like I'm trying to say, I'm taking people's jobs. But if there's an actor out there that can portray that role better than me, because simply because of who I am and the fact that Daniel knows me and he thinks I can do it, I felt a lot of pressure making sure that I did do that, so as people didn't say that and he doesn't get accused of that. So I really, once he gave me that kind of direction, it felt like
freeing.
Yeah, it was really kind of like made me relax a bit more.
Who do you think's been your very favourite footballer in all the years?
Maradona. Maradona was flawed.
Did you ever meet him?
Yeah.
Did you ever have a good night with him?
No, I didn't have a good night with him.
Food.
I probably would have stayed.
It would have been food, darling.
I probably would have stayed clear of a night with Maradona.
God.
You know,
that's
but
what
like,
went up his nose, I think. It wasn't even drink, was it?
No, Mum. No, it was not.
But like the thing is,
do you think he played football high?
Yes.
What?
Did he play football high?
Definitely.
Yeah, probably.
Did you not watch the documentary?
Probably. No.
Oh my God, it's brilliant.
Oh, I should.
Yeah, but
watch
you say
it.
That, you know, and it's I'm sure there's a lot of people that's played football high and drunk, Len.
Did you ever go to training or to a football match a bit hungover?
No, because I wasn't that guy. I wasn't the drinker. You know, my mum drank a lot when she was younger. I saw that. My older brother drank a lot, and he's not a good drunk. My brother, Morris, is a great drinker. He's unbelievable. And if I was going to be somebody that drank to that level, to that excess, I'd like to be like my brother. But I've seen too many nasty things and people that have changed under alcohol, and it's even worse in the dressing room. It's such a toxic masculinity in there, and you know what I mean? Things just get escalated so quickly in a dressing room, and then when you go out for the night out with the boys and things get, you know, on drink, it goes to somewhere else. So I've always been very wary of alcohol like that. What's that? It's so nice. Is that the nuts?
I don't know. What did you get? What was it?
It was,
Was it a nut or was it rhubarb?
It's nut, but it's like, it's staying here. It's like,
maybe the pistachio.
Is it the pistachio?
Maybe. Have another go.
Is it this one?
Yeah. Is it the pistachio?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Wow. A little roasted pistache.
With the cream. Jesus, you just stopped me in my tracks. See, now that's food, isn't it?
Yeah.
Food. If you're eating the right food, it stops you in your tracks. The rhubarb tastes really nice.
Oh, good.
If I'm going to talk to
And on to another subject. We need to ask you your Last Supper. So you are... Where are you going?
You're
going somewhere on a desert
it's
island.
It's like your desert island dinner.
Where you're not going to have Well, maybe you can find a Wilson there and play.
He'll get an old coconut and kick that around, yeah.
So, okay, you're going to a desert island. Mm. You're not going to have any of your comforts. You're not going to have any of your delicious things. What would be the last supper that you would have? Starter, main, pud, drink of choice.
Let me see, because it's a really good question. And I'm just going to try and be totally honest.
Starter.
With the starter.
Would it be oysters from the cow?
I'd probably start with oysters if I'm going to tell
Fabulous.
You. You know something? I do like lobster.
Do you? How do you cook it?
No, I like it when it's like, you know, thermidored all the way through. I like,
bit of cheese on there. Like.
Just that, you know, anything like that. And if they're going to do it because it's the last one, I'd say, yeah, go on then, put some cheese, knock yourself out.
Where have you had a good lobster thermidor?
I had a good one at Scott's.
Oh, I love Scots.
Yeah, Scots in Mountain.
I think the best lobster I've ever had was in St Kitts.
St Kitts, when they got it out of the water.
They got it out there, chopped it on the griddle.
Yeah, but that is really quite... I always feel really bad about that.
I know.
We went to Qatar, and me, Gary Neville, and Roy Keane, we were having a meal, and then I said, yeah, I fancy some lobster, but then they went out and they brought it in.
Oh, yeah, no.
And
I don't see it moving around.
Yeah, you're like...
Yeah, so they showed me it, and then I was like, oh, God. And then all the time I can't enjoy that.
No.
Right? So, like, I'm saying is, just to save my wimpiness about it, is just, I don't want to see it.
You'll have lobster
done.
Thermidor.
You know, so I'd have probably lobster thermidor.
Okay.
You know what I'd like to
main.
Have? Yeah, my main would be, I remember my mum used to make ackee and saltfish.
Do
you love it? I love this.
It's such a mysterious
It's vegetable,
thing, because
isn't it?
It's a vegetable. It tastes like scrambled egg.
Yeah, it looks like scrambled egg.
Did you love it when your mum made it?
I loved it because she made it so well with the ackies, which does look... It looks like scrambled egg, just the yellow bit. And then you put the saltfish in that with all the spices and the onions and everything that goes in it with fried dumplings.
When would she make that?
She'd make that probably on a Saturday morning. That'd be a Saturday morning. It'd be a treat, that would be.
Yeah.
It'd be a treat. So I'd have that as a main, you know, because Yeah, that's quite nice. And then
any sides?
You know, no. You know what? I'd probably have. You don't really have sides, but you know, I'd have
ackee,
boiled,
darling.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
I'd,
but that's
you, yeah, but, yeah, but you can have fried dumplings or boiled dumplings. So you normally, if you're having breakfast with it, you can have fried dumplings. But if you have it maybe in the evening, you'd probably have boiled dumplings and boiled bananas.
Okay.
And because obviously, because I'm so used to that kind of food from a young age, that was probably my favourite when I was younger. So I'd probably have that.
Drink of choice?
You know what I'd have? I'd have a Guinness punch. Have you had Guinness?
Oh, I've never had it.
Had it at carnival.
What do you put it in?
It's Guinness.
I don't. Maybe I haven't had a good one.
Obviously, it's made with Guinness, condensed milk. You could put all sorts of stuff in it. Cinnamon, nutmeg, you know, egg yolk and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then you mix it up with the Guinness, with the sweetened milk, like I say, the nutmeg, cinnamon. And it's funny, my stepdad made it amazingly. You know, he really made a nice one. And probably for a dessert, I'd have the sponge with jam on top with coconut with custard.
Ian Wright, I could have you here forever.
Right. Yeah, stay.
You are exactly the same, but actually even better.
It's nice, man. It's nice to be. You know what? This is what I like. This is what this is my vibe, man. This is how I want to be. This is the kind of thing I want to do. You know, I mean, just chilling and because people have got a massive misconception of me simply because some opinions or what they think they know
what,
of me.
What do you think?
I just think that I'm an aggressive.
How does anyone think that?
No, because like I've got very forthright views in what I think about wrongs and rights, and I'll pull it out there. And some people think that, you know, they like to say you're woke. You know, you've got chip on your shoulder. It's everything. You know what I mean? Some of the stuff that comes, like I say with the social media, like I mentioned at the start with the punditry, it comes and, you know, you have to stay away from it because it will. It taints you.
I think that first move you made when Gary was suspended and you said, I'm not playing anymore.
I had to do that.
You did it. You were the first one and everyone followed you.
But you know what, without Len, it was wrong what they were doing to him.
It was completely wrong.
It was wrong. I know that Gary does stuff where he escapes
outspoken.
The line. But I thought that, and you know what, I'm not saying that it's something that I'd done because, oh, I'd want someone to do that for me. But in the moment of what they were doing, that's such a lovely taste. In the moment of what they were doing and what they were trying to do to him, they were wrong.
Yeah.
And what happens is that if you leave people when you know, and right-minded people leave people to do things like that, that's when dangerous things happen.
Yeah, I agree.
So if Gary Lineker gets suspended or gets thrown out for that, what else are they going to go on to do that's wrong? So if you stand up to them, then they realise, oh, you can't do that. They will stop.
But
so you have
was,
to do it, and then
was,
you know
what? But it was because of you starting it out.
And then obviously
followed.
you can imagine the stuff that came with that. But then that's the collateral damage of speaking the truth.
I mean, you say people think this of you. Mm-hmm. And probably because you have a lot of trolls and horrible people. But what we know and what we've always thought is that you are
fab,
wonderful, honourable, fun, best smile ever. and like you've entertained and we love you on our screens and we love that you're going into food. It's just kind of, I can't wait to see where else you go. Film, food, hot sauce.
Do you sing?
It's funny, I was singing Elvis in the car because, like, my mum used to love Elvis. She used to love that song, It's the Wonder of You. But I don't sing, I just only used to sing.
Do karaoke?
No, because, like, it's really tough to get up there. And then if I'm not going to be singing, like, exactly every tone of Luther Vandross, I feel terrible.
Are you a perfectionist, Ian Wright?
No, but if I'm going to get up there and do it, I want to do it where it's not going
to
be questioned.
You want to sound like Luther Vandross.
Otherwise I don't want to get up there. You know what I mean? Because like I say, I don't drink enough where I get Dutch courage to go up there. If I'm going up there, I'm probably sober and know what I'm doing. And if I get that wrong, I would hate that.
But I think you're a very brave person.
You have to take the chances. And this is why with the acting, as much as I felt how I felt about, am I taking someone's job? You feel those things. Then if that's the case and you're going to do it, then do it so as you can justify doing it and never be afraid of like doing something new. It's like when I was playing football, and they wanted me to do that television show on interviewing people and music guests and that. I said, yeah, I'll do it. Because you have to do things that kind of take you out of the norm. You know what I mean? Like, I remember David Dean at Arsenal was saying it's immoral he's doing this. I was saying, what are you talking about?
It's
immoral. You know what I mean? That kind of craziness. But like the thing is, you have to test yourself and do other things. You know what I mean? You might fail, but then I'd rather fail than not have tried. And it's... It's something you hear people say, but it's the truth.
Who do you think is going to win the Euros, Ian? Do you think we've got a chance?
Massive chance.
Really?
Massive chance, yeah.
Yeah, but you're an optimist, I feel like.
No, but the thing is, yeah, but I'm an optimist.
You are.
I'm an optimist, yes, but the thing, we've
He's
got...
He's a realist.
You think we're going to win every
we've
time, I think.
We've got fabulous
no,
players.
No, no, you know what it is? I will
Jude
always...
Jude Bellingham.
Jude Bellingham. You know, Cobby's just got in there.
Cobby,
Declan
yeah.
Rice. Harry Kane.
Foden.
You know, Foden.
My Marcus.
Saka. Your Marcus as well. You know, Bramford's just got in. John Stones.
Yeah.
Trent might be
Dunk.
There, hopefully. You know.
Dunk, defending.
You like Dunk from Brighton?
Yeah, I think he's
the
good.
Thing is, the only thing is, Jess, it's not like I'm an optimist because of the calibre player we've mm-hmm. got. I'm going off of the back of, if they go to their potential, just like if Germany do, if France do, we can win. And that is what you always, that's what I put my marker on. The fact that if we perform how we would perform, and if I was playing in that team, what I'm going to bring, if everybody else brings that, then it's going to be very tough to beat us. And so that's why I will always be optimistic.
Declan Rice,
but even more,
about him.
Exactly.
How could I forget
oh
that?
Oh, my gosh. It's a crime. But like that's why I would say we've got a very good chance. But, you know, I'll say it here first. I think Germany have got an unbelievable team. If that
really? So you're saying maybe put a bet on both of them?
You know something,
hold
honestly.
On a sec.
Yeah,
Germany was an old team. Have they got younger?
Yes. Because they've gone
the
through...
The last World Cup, they were...
They weren't, yeah, but now
so
what's
So all the young boys have come up.
They're starting to come through. You know, they've got some players
That's why
now.
They were... Wasn't it a bit iffy for them in the Euros?
Yeah, weren't working out for them. But now, they've got a team
I've not
that, again,
seen them play
if they click, if they click... They're going to be a problem.
Oh, they can't
beat us
again.
I want it for Harry. Yeah. I want it for you. Mm-hmm. Ian Wright, thank you for being on Table Manners.
Thank you so much.
And please come again.
Shall I try and bring the guys?
Yes, bring the guys.
Of Ian Wright, or that I've drunk a bottle
well,
of wine.
He is football royalty, darling.
He's amazing.
Just such a delight.
And
so
hopefully,
lovely.
For all those footballers that listen to this podcast, you no longer need to feel scared about coming on the podcast.
We know what we're talking about.
Ian Wright has paved the way for all of you to come and join us in New Cross or Clapham. Ian Wright, what an amazing, amazing man. We just scratched the surface.
I know. And I loved looking at him.
He's oh, very, yeah, I bet you did not.
Very prince-like.
He is regal.
Yeah.
He is regal and great fashion sense.
Yeah. Oh, great. It was really cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
Just lovely. But his face, when I gave him the rhubarb, he literally gulped.
I could see. He kind of worked round
the fear.
It.
And then, yeah, bless him.
I know.
I have to say, a little combined effort, Mum.
It was very
it's a good
pav. Darling. Yeah.
It
was a very good pavlova.
I have to say also shout out to Georgina Hayden because I think I saw her do something like this on like Sunday brunch and I didn't copy it, but I saw her do rhubarb and pistachio and I think she had rose petals. I didn't have rose petals, but it was inspired by something that you put up. So thanks, George. And thank you to Willie's Pies and Uncle Wrighty for absolutely delicious pies.
Uncle Wrighty. They were gorgeous. You couldn't make that as nice, could you? To be honest, the pastry was fab. Big lumps of chicken.
It was fab.
Gorgeous.
What a gorgeous afternoon. Now I've got to go and pick up my kids.
Okay.
Thank you to Ian Wright for coming over, for bringing lunch, and for sharing a bottle of wine with us.
Okay. Did you think my mashed potato was okay?
Very good, Mum. I did add
I
a big knob of butter, though.
Well, I didn't.
Well, I did.
Because I didn't know what was being added. But also, I did it with potato ricer.
Oh.
It makes all the difference.
Instead of using
instead
a hand blender, it makes it too elasticated.
Yeah, use the potato ricer. It's the best thing I've bought for mashed potatoes.
It's really good. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.